So today we start a very important series called Four Chair Discipleship. And yep, those are the four chairs. Just in case you're wondering what's happening, it's a great picture, and we're going to go through them from week three. So we have, well, let me not jump ahead of myself. I often say that that the why is more important than the how and the what. Who's heard that before? The why is more important than the how and the what. But of course, the how and the what is important because you've got to know what's going on and how to do the job, but the why is importanter. And as we go through this and speak about discipleship and the flow that happens and what God wants to do with us, friends, we've got to know that there's a reason why God calls us to do this. So let me read something. 2 Peter 3, this is out of the Passion Translation. And, you know, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is this, is Jesus is coming back. Who believes that? The three of you. The bad news is, not today. Because we have to finish our growth track. Got some eats there that, of course, snacks only for those. And we know who you are. It's got your name on the muffin, actually. We had it. We put it on the muffin. but there's a reason. There's a reason why we go through this. And 2 Peter 3 says this, the Passion Translation, since all these things are on the verge of being dismantled, of course we understand we're coming to the end of the end times. This is written 2,000 years ago. So if Peter's writing this that long ago, you know 2,000 years now later, there, if you look around what's going on in the world, you look at the news, you look just anything, everywhere, just it's tumultuous times. Wars and rumors of wars and ethnic group against ethnic group. And we see the words of Jesus coming true. Amen? But he says here, so don't you see how vital it is to live a holy life? That word, Peter is not trying to tell us, listen, stop sinning, you know, stop smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol and kicking the dog. Be a good holy Christian. That's not what Peter's trying to communicate. He's trying to get us to walk like Jesus walked. Speak like Jesus spoke. Jesus didn't come to not sin. He didn't come to not get drunk and not smoke cigarettes or not. That wasn't his goal. His goal was to raise the dead, heal the sick, proclaim the gospel, hear the Lord's favor, set the blind, give the blind sight, set the bound up free. Amen? That's what the church should be doing. But we're so busy talking about just don't sin, stop sinning. You stop sinning, it's bad. Actually, that not sinning, we don't want to go down roads because we want to be free because Jesus called us to be free. Amen? So we don't want to go stick ourselves back into bondage by going back to old habits. That is just logical. Amen. But as Dawn often says, desire overrides logic. But anyway, the point is, Jesus wants us to be like him, to talk like him, to walk like him. So Peter tells us here, see how vital it is. Then he says, we must be consumed with godliness, meaning be good Christians, Craig. No, to walk like Jesus. Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. While we anticipate, listen to this, here comes the kicker, and help to speed up the coming of the day of the Lord. So we, friends, as a church, can speed up the coming of Jesus. How's that for profound? Amen? To speed its coming, that's what the NIV says, and to speed its coming. We can speed up the coming of Jesus. Who wants Jesus to come back soon? Do you know that you can help that happen? Did you know that? If you didn't, now you do. To speed up the coming of Jesus. But that means we have to do what Jesus did. If I have the ability in myself and yourself that we can live our lives to such a degree that it speeds up the coming of Jesus, would you not want to know what it was and then how to apply that to your life? Amen? And remember, Jesus doesn't want to condemn you, even in today's message. And as every time you had grace life, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. meaning there's, you have been set free from condemnation. There is no more judgment on you. The Lord doesn't sit and stare at you like he's tapping his foot. He's a father that sits by his window with his arms out waiting for you to come home. Amen. He's a father when you wake up in the morning, he says, right, son, another day, another merciful mercy. New mercies every day. He says, let's go, let's do it. It's another day. Oh, man, I dropped the ball again last night. It's okay, son, come, let's do it. I have a son. My son falls down and I don't walk up to smack him the side of the head. You're useless, look at you. I want to love him to freedom and love him to good stuff. And that's how the Father sees you and I. That's what he wants for you and I. He's a good dad. He wants the best for us. But he wants us to learn to go from chair to chair so that we can become and be all he's called us to be as the church so that we can speed his coming. The greatest deception that's ever happened was called the Dark Ages, was when the church went, right, I've got the Latin Bible, you've got nothing. If you try and make a Bible, we'll burn you at the stake. The first person who printed the Bible, the printing press, the person who invented that printing press, the Bible was the first book printed on the printing press. He was killed by the church of the day for heresy. Because I am the pastor, I wear the nice clothes and the whatever the garb is. You come and you just listen to me and I tell you how to do and what to do and what you mustn't do and what you must do. And you just go, okay, and leave again. And so what's happened is you have this clergy-laity split that's highly demonic. It's a teaching of demons. There's no split in the kingdom of God. There's no hierarchical split. God is the commander of the armies of God. Yes, he has leaders, but the leaders are not there to lord it over your faith. So Paul says to us in the book of Corinthians, he says, not that we lord it over, because obviously some guys are saying, hey, Paul's trying to control us. No, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy. Yes. Amen. Yes. We've got to stop being so sensitive when people try and correct us. Paul says this, he says, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That word spur, you know what a spur is? Yeah. Who's ridden a horse before? Yeah. A spur is the thing that's sharp in the side of the horse. The horse don't like it. Sometimes we need our friends and our family in the body of Christ to spur us a little bit towards love and good deeds. Because sometimes you want to flow back into what's most comfortable. Who's with me? See, the church, you have two pictures of the church in today's world. There's two things. One, you have a cruise ship on the one side and you have a battleship on the other. Now, cruise ship, I've never been on a cruise ship, but I know people that have been. And I know how that works. And on a cruise ship, you go and you go, well, I'm here to be entertained. I'm here for comfort and relaxation. I want my room to be nice and clean and the aircon to be working and the shower to be nice. I want a nice little view. And when I go down deck to have food, I want the food to be nice there and warm like it should be. And I want everyone dressed neatly. And I want the entertainment to be great. There must be a good band. And the movie house must be great because I paid top dollar to be here. And so a cruise ship mentality in the church is I come to just relax and be entertained. So the music's too loud, the music's too soft. It's too hot, it's too cold. We in our first venue, actually our second venue we had, Malcolm will remember this. We had an Eco Park, 318, or a lot of you, even John Dre at the back there. 318, yeah, even you, I think were you around then? When you came last week, you saw. We had 18,000 BTU air cons. Three on either side. And in summer, you'd pump those puppies. And you had the remotes next to each one. Eventually, we had to take the remotes away. Because the people in the church started, there was like a bit of a battle happening. I said, it's too hot, too cold. And the lady gets up, it's way too cold, turns it up. The guy, it's way too hot, turns it down, over and over. So we took all the remotes away. I said, sorry, guys. We set them at like 21 and we leave it there. So you see, it's too hot. Anyway, that was just a practical thing. But the point is, the cruise ship, as long as I'm comfortable, and if I'm not, I'm going to complain to the captain. You see, a battleship mentality is it's all hands on deck. Everybody here's on the battleship are here for the mission. I'm not there. There's no one on a battleship that's not supposed to be on a battleship. Not one person. You're all signed up to the army. You signed up to the navy. And you are there for a mission. You have a job to do. Amen. Your job is part of helping the battleship function. whether it be sweeping the decks, whether it be polishing, cooking in the kitchen, doing the weapons, whatever it is, you have a job to do, and the job is to do what? Is to advance the mission. And the mission is sent by the commanding officers. Our mission is from the Word of God, from Jesus Himself. Amen. And we all work together. So there's leadership in the church. There is. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider their outcome of the way of life and imitate their faith. So you see the leaders on the battleship, and they've given their lives for them, and they hardened people, hopefully, and they've done this thing. And so all the privates are, okay, the leaders are helping direct. So there's leadership. But again, it's not to control people. Controlling leadership, they're in fear. And if you're in fear, you're not walking by grace. Amen. So don't follow that person. Controlling leadership is not good. Someone once said this. There's a fine line between being a good leader and being a jerk. I'm serious. I don't know why you're laughing. There's a fine line between being a good leader and being a jerk. Did you know that? To some people, Jesus was a jerk to such a degree that they killed him, put him on the cross. Other people loved him. Some people took their hair and their tears and they wiped his feet and used their hair to dry them. Other people scoffed at him and said, if you're the Son of God, come off that cross. Amen. God wants to change this mentality from cruise ship to actually not even battleship, to aircraft carrier. Because we send aircraft off to do something and they come back. And remember, Satan wages war against the church. What is he waging war against? Your understanding of righteousness and your identity. Jesus called, he said, I'm the Father of one. I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Poof. He blew people's minds. They're like, what? God, G hyphen D. You don't even say his name. You're telling me you're in him and he's in you and you and him are one? What are you on about? Are you smoking something? Amen. But Jesus understood his identity. He understood who he was as a son. We have to understand who we are. That's what good leadership does. Leads you into who your identity is so that you can become who God's called you to become. So that we can all become who God's called us all to become. Jesus on this planet, walked this planet, a composite whole. Head, body, hands, feet, a composite whole. Following the Father, walking. The problem with the church today is we often not a composite whole, and we have Parkinson's. And each part is doing its own thing. You try to ask a guy with Parkinson's to pass a screwdriver. That's a funny picture. But the point is, the body needs to be a composite whole to outwork the mission of God. If everything's doing its own thing at its own time, then we're all just going in different directions. Amen? All right, so as I was saying the other day, I said it to someone. So often in the church, we use our five senses. See, when you're on the cruise ship, when you're on the cruise ship, what happens is I use my eyes, my ears, the entertainment's great. What I see is nice. My taste, the smorgasbord of food, I touch, everything's nice to the touch. Amen? And everything smells great. See, my five senses what got me. I'm not ripping cruise ships. If you've got money to go on a cruise, wonderful. Amen? But the bottom line is, I use my five senses for that. But on the battleship of Jesus, my sixth sense called, and it's not spidey sense, my sixth sense called faith must be an ascendancy over my five senses. It's the mission that drives. I mean, the guy's in his cabin. He arrives there and on the Navy, arrives on the battleship or the crew, and he goes, yes, my cabin's tiny, man. This is ridiculous. See, I feel how hard my bed is. The sink is this big. There's no windows. No, man, come on. Go to the captain. Can I see you? Now, listen, I've got a problem. My cabin's got no windows. Okay, how does that work? Everything's so cold and sterile. My bed's hard. It's tiny. You see, your comfort is underneath the mission. The mission is what's first. Sometimes even at Grace Life, trying to get people to sit forward. You don't sit me forward. I sit right where I want to sit. And we've got the ushers, like, please, can I? And the guy's like, we've had people get up and walk out the church, not coming back. Dude, how dare you to ask me to sit? I'll sit where I want to sit. And that's not our ushers. They run after our ushers to ask them to come back. They're in tears. And you know who it is sometimes? It's the members. They've been here a while. You don't understand the mission. You're not here for you. The reason why you ask them to come forward is because we want the latecomers. And generally, the latecomers are the first and second time guests. They've been around two or three times. They're very nervous. They come in right at the end. They're not going to come and sit in front here. So they want to just quickly sit, slip in and sit in the back. But no, I want to sit where it's comfortable. It's not about you, sir or ma'am. We exist for those that have not yet joined us. Amen? The battleship is fighting for the freedom of whatever. They're going to go take out the, because they're fighting for their country to expand whatever for freedom or for whatever they're doing. The mission of the church is the same. We're fighting to bring people here, to bring them out of hell to begin to walk like God. So actually, I speed forward. I come. You don't even ask me. I just come forward because that's what we ask. I don't box you because I'm not here for my comfort. I'm here for the mission. Amen. So when we see this, friends, when we see the mission, our life becomes easier. To say no to the things that are not good for us becomes easier because I have something bigger to live for. When you've got a dirty bottle full of dirty water, you don't try and take the water out of the bottle. You put it under the tap. You put the tap on the water. It'll just dry that dirty water out. We need the Holy Spirit. We need more of God. We need stronger faith. We need our sixth sense to be powerful. And when that happens, saying no to the wrong things is much easier. Who's with me? If you haven't been to a growth track, come this afternoon. Why? Because you want your faith strong. Anyway, I'm way too long on my introduction. Hope is not a strategy, someone once said. Can't hope for something without strategizing for it. Amen? All the life groups. If you haven't signed up to one, sign up to a life group. They're very important. It's biblical. You know that? This is a manual that all the life group leaders got. I'm going to go through this manual all 8 weeks. All the things inside that's going to be great. I want to encourage you, join up with the life group. Go through this, through the lessons and through the questions. Excuse me? So Solomon's Colonnade, they met at Solomon's Colonnade as a group of people. That's what we're doing now. And then they also met from house to house. So it's biblical, so we meet together in our togetherness, but then we also met from house to house. And if the Holy Spirit has it in there, they met from house to house, who are we to say, no, I don't really care, I'm not going to do that? How can you argue with the living God? The one who spoke the stars and the moon and the into existence with the word of his mouth. Amen? Who knows how many hairs are on your head and the bird that just died now on the ground? So, four chair discipleship, week one, our mission and motive. So week one, our mission and motive. Week two will be the method. Week three is the lost. Week four, the believer. Week five, the worker. Week six, the disciple maker. Week seven, barriers or sticking points. And week eight, barriers between the chairs. It's going to be wonderful. I want to encourage you. Very important. Make all the meetings. Amen. See, we tend to focus mainly on Jesus' message very often and not actually his methods and what he actually did. And so we're going to be working through a book by Dan Spader. The book is called Four Chair Discipleship. Really an American guy. And I've been loving the book. We're going through his Like Jesus ministry, and we'll just be peeling through this book. That's where this comes from. We made some edits, but it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Amen? So just two big points and we finished. Mission and motive. So the mission of the church, where do we get that from and why do we use it? Why do we say this? Because Matthew 28, verse 8, often when I'm talking to or a message of first-time guests, I'll say a mission statement, encountering God, making disciples. And we say, you know, we trust that you encounter God and that you encounter God so that you can help others encounter God. Amen? That's the goal. And then number two, that we make disciples outworking the mandate that Jesus gave to us in Matthew 28:8. Jesus, before he went into heaven, he gave a mandate. He said something. We'll read it now. He wasn't talking to two people in the front of him, the elders of the church. He wasn't talking to his disciples. He was talking to 500 people. It's recorded there. Up to 500 people that Jesus was communicating with before he went into heaven. Matthew 28:18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. So Jesus gives this commission. They call it the Great Commission. And it's not great because it's a great because all the great Christians must do it, the Billy Grahams, you know, all the big guys. No, the Great Commission is not even in the Bible. The people who put the Bible, they put it in there. But it's not in the original text, the word great, the Great Commission. It's just Jesus talking. But it's great because it advances the great gospel to all the nations of the world. And he's not, like I say, he's not talking to the select, you know, the chosen holy, the holy, you know, the holy huddle here in front of him, all the main players. He's talking to the church. And he's saying, go and make disciples of all nations. Friends, it took 120 people in the upper room to turn the world upside down. Where were the 10,000 people that Jesus was feeding? They were the hangers-on. I would rather have a church of 120 on-fire Christians living on chair 4 than 1,000 people with 120 trying to carry the whole 1,000 and just imploding under the weight of it all. 120 people turned the world upside down because of their faith. Amen? We can be that. We're a couple more than 120, but Lord, help us. Help us become who you've called us to become. Lord, I just pray that as we go through this series, Father, we'd be a people that don't just listen and go, well, it's a nice one. What's the next series? Father, but we're people that actually change. We take it to heart and we become who you've called us to become. Mothers and fathers in the kingdom, Lord. Mothers and fathers. Hebrews 6, friends. Hebrews 6, verse 1 says, by now you ought to be teachers, but someone has to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. I've stopped praying, by the way. Guys, with their eyes closed. Or you're sleeping. The writer of Hebrews, it's an indictment. It says, by now you ought to be teachers, but someone has to teach you the word of God all over again. They've got to give you milk, not solid food. You have Christians that have been around the church for 20 years, but they're still babies. They still get offended because you try and seat them somewhere. They get offended because you don't shake their hand, because you're not invited to certain meetings, because you didn't give them something, because you walk past them and didn't say hello. They get offended. They're still babies. Do you know that baby doesn't throw their toys out the cot because they don't like their toys? They throw the toys out the cot because they're angry about something. You're still dealing with anger issues in yourself and you get offended easily. Actually, we should be hard to offend and easy to please. Amen. Mature sons of God, very hard. I'm unoffendable. You can't offend me. Even the people, Jesus hanging on the cross, people are spitting at him and throwing whatever, I don't know, they shout obscenities and he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Unoffendable. They don't know what they're doing, Lord. Amen? Some of us would have wanted to come, get me off this cross. I'm going to rip his head off. Amen? Because it's taste, it's all the five senses and not operating by faith. More than defining an activity that Christians occasionally do, the Great Commission is the essence of what every follower of Jesus should be doing constantly. Every follower, every moment of every day. Don't walk away, oh, Greg, I'm useless. I don't do that. The Father never calls useless. He gifted you with gifts and talents. And he wants to harness those gifts and talents for his glory. That's why he made you. Amen. Not to be a multimillionaire living in a big house with 4 cars and 3 jet skis. If that's your gig and that's fine. But as long as you're using your gifts and talents to advance the kingdom of God, and those things are just toys, because you can't take them with you one day. Amen? Someone asked about Rockefeller when he died many years ago. One of the richest men in the world, they asked him, how much did he leave behind? And they said, all of it. So, all authority, we have to remember this. This is very important for us, friends. All authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus says, has been given to me. And then he says, now, therefore, you go and do what I've done. I give you that authority. I give you the authority that I carry. Amen? Remember, religiosity goes, I change from the outside. I use my five senses to fix my life up. Christianity, I have faith in me. My faith gets stronger. I renew my mind and I change. And my outside changes. Amen? So the Father wants to use that to so that we understand that the authority he gave me starts inside of me. That's why growth tracks are good. That's why coming on a Sunday is good. And I've said many times, and this might sound whatever you want to call it, but you know, you come into Grace House, you walk in this morning, come into the second meeting, you're not going to get a naughty badge from the pastor or from the pastors and the leaders. Hey, well done for making Grace Life. It's like the least you can do. It's a big stone in your bucket. But all the stones, all the little pebbles in the sand are filling your bucket of the growth tracks and of the connection points and the coffees afterwards and the love days and the life groups. Those are all the things you put in your bucket to do what? To strengthen your faith, to renew your mind so that you can become strong like Jesus. If you try and do it from the outside in, I'm going to stop sinning, I'm going to stop smoking, I'm going to stop drinking, and I'll become a good Christian. You've lost the point. That's religiosity. You change from the inside out, not from the outside in. Inside out. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Every step here, even here, you couldn't do anything to go from there to there. You had to believe in the cross. You can't give up. Someone spoke about baptisms the other day. They said they're Christians, but they're going to get baptized later on because they just want to live a little bit first. What are you talking about? The baptism's not going to wash your sin away. And now I'm a Christian. Jesus washed your sin away. A baptism is just a physical picture of what happened at the cross. You were dying to your old self, you've raised to new life. Amen. You get offended and get bitter and angry with your brothers and sisters. You must know every time you're getting offended and bitter and saying something sideways that you shouldn't be saying, you're just living from your old, you're just resurrecting your old nature. You're just allowing that thing to fester in you. Actually, I'm a son of God. I'm unoffendable. Now, is there a problem? Well, then we work the problem out. But there's a way that adults do it, not like children trying to pull each other's hair and throw their toys out the cot. Amen? I've got 5 minutes. You better listen quick because I'm going to talk fast. Two commands and a couple of verbs in that Great Commission. The command one is to make disciples. So we got to understand, friends, as I said, Jesus, the method, we often look at his message and we want to talk about what Jesus said. But actually, if you look at his method and what he did, it's very, very interesting and very important for us to look at. In the book of Psalms, says, unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers build in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchmen stand watch in vain. Amen. I'm going to protect my stuff. Actually, Lord, you're my protector. You're the one who watches over me. Amen? You're the one who watches over me. I can step out of the water, out of the boat onto rough waters and you'll protect me because I'm coming to you. Unless the Lord builds the house. So 17 times, matter of fact, yeah, 17 times we see Jesus in the Gospels talking to the masses. 17 times. 46 times we see him talking to the few. Most of our discipleship be to the few. Who is my Peter, James, and John? Who is the people that I'm pouring my life into? That's what Jesus did. Unless I'm building like him, I'm building in vain. Amen. That's why leadership is so good. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Consider the outcome of their way of life, not their fancy words and their fancy book, but look at their life. What did they build? What have they built going forward? What have they built in the kingdom behind them? Amen? And you follow them. And then you say, listen, how am I doing in my building? Am I building correctly? Very important. Amen? Am I doing this thing correctly? If you were me, what would you do here? Who's with me? Okay, that's the commandment, to make disciples. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Go and make disciples. Why? Because you'll speed up my coming. Because if one makes disciples, good. If two, then you got five. Then you got 10. And it just does this. Then you have four discipling 12, and then you have 12 discipling 36. Then you have to understand what happens. It's just compounded. Yes, best pyramid scheme ever, because that's what Jesus did. Amen. If Jesus had gone to the cross, friends, but not raised up 12 disciples, he would have failed in his mission. If he had raised up 12 disciples and not gone to the cross, he would have failed in his mission. It's a both and. I die to myself. I live for Jesus and I raise up disciples. And you know where it starts? My family, my friends, in the local church, who needs me to speak into their life? You are spiritual. If your brother's caught in a sin, you are spiritual. You should restore him gently. Woo, I've run out of time. Verb one is to go. In your going. In your going. Not go. Okay, Clint, leave here now and go and do it. In your going. When you walk through the doors, make disciples. You're talking to people about Jesus. When you walk out to the parking lot, you're making disciples. You're talking about in your workplace, with your wife, with your children. You just always make, in your work, wherever you are, you're making disciples. Amen. You're just talking about the gospel constantly. In your going, in your life, do it. But find a two or three or four that you can pour your life into. It's not for the leadership, it's for us as a church. That's how his speed is coming. Number two, baptize. I already spoke about that. Baptism, we identify externally with a change that is taking place internally. Repent and be baptized. Number three, teach. Interesting. Teach them to obey. Oh, he's talking about the leaders who must teach in life groups. No, he's talking to us as a church, friends, that we are to teach. By now, you ought to be teachers, but someone's got to spoon feed you milk. I'm angry because he didn't greet me. Amen. The motive. Okay, number two, stay focused on Jesus. He says, I'm with you till the end of the age, meaning don't ever forget, I'm with you till the end of the age. Amen. Darren, I want to tell you, Jesus is with you till the end of the age, my friend. Till the end of the age. He's in you, he's around you, he's behind you, he's beside you. That day you gave your life to Jesus, you and I, at Wimpy, he never forgets that. He's always remembered that. And he's called you for a great purpose. Amen. Father, I just pray for that man. Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon him and his wonderful wife, Lord, upon what they do, that you would open up their eyes to the glorious gospel more and more, that they would see, Lord, that they are not second-rate citizens, but they are prized in the kingdom of God. They are diamonds in the crown of your God. They are diamonds, Lord. They are angels that are signed to them to bring them the fruit of the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then number two, motive, and we're done here. Why do we stand together? Matthew 27. Remember, I spoke about speeding up the coming of Jesus. Now, that's a wonderful motive. How good is that motive? Who believes that? Why don't you lift your hands if that's you? Well, that's most of you. Other guys, hands, arms broken. The motive is to speed the coming of Jesus. And then the second thing here says, Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first command, the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. I love God. So Jesus, Paul says, the love of God, the love of Christ compels me. Amen? That's why we're unoffendable. Why? Because we're full of love. Love covers over a multitude of sin. I've got to bear with you. Why? Because you've got to bear with me. Do you know, I've said this before. I'll say it again. Grace life is dysfunctional. Yeah. What, Craig? I thought you were perfect. No, you're not perfect. You're also dysfunctional. We're made up of you and I, and we're all dysfunctional. I had a dysfunctional family. Dawn and I and our two kids are functionally dysfunctional. We all got our hang-ups and our quips and our little idiosyncrasies. Amen? But they don't stop us from moving forward in the kingdom of God. There's no one perfect. Only Jesus perfect. Amen. Okay, and Dawn's a close second. Malcolm's a close third. Yeah, amen. We're all dysfunctional in some way, shape, or form. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for a mouthpiece. He's looking for eyes and hands to be Jesus. But now don't go, Craig, my dysfunction is to be offended and angry all the time at you. No. Amen. We want to become like him, walking like him, talking like him, raising disciples. Amen. Let me just read this. I'm going to jump past all the rest of that stuff. I've run out of time. In short, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment must be held together. They're together. They hold together because we love God, we love people. And because we love people, we make disciples. The motive drives the mission. Loving God and loving people is our motive. Making disciples who can make disciples is our mission. Amen? That is the goal of Christianity, friends, is to raise up the next generation. If we don't, it dies with you and I. And that's not God's heart. Amen? God's heart is that everything perpetuates. If you're a father and a mother, yeah, you've had children. Who's had children yet? Put your hand up. Yes, okay, great. He has a question. Don't put your hand up. Have you raised spiritual children who have raised children? How's that one? Have you raised spiritual children? Because in the kingdom, it works the same way. Multiply on the earth and fill the earth and subdue it. Okay, I've had kids, even with one, that's fine. You've multiplied, but now have I multiplied in the kingdom of God? Say, Lord, I haven't. Well, then teach me, Craig. Teach me Jesus through this series. Amen? Can I pray for you? Lord, I just want to thank you for the glory that's on us as a church. Thank you, Lord, that we're not in competition with anyone, but we are here to do what you've called us to do. Thank you, Father, for the fact that we are disciple makers who make disciples, Lord. That's who we are. That's who the people are in front of me, Lord God. Disciple makers who make disciples. Even if they don't know it yet, that's what they are, and that's who we will be. I thank you, Father, for the glory that's on us. Thank you for every man and woman under the sound of my voice. Bless them, Father, because this is your heart for your people. Amen.
Grant, well done, babe. Yes, let's give him a hand. Before Grant closes, he just quickly said, did I want to say anything? And I felt the Lord say, go on, say it. The other day, I was ordering pizza for the worship team for their practice. And I saw this most beautiful picture of this exquisite woman. And the heading said, lead her ship. And immediately, I thought about the whole battleship cruise ship concept. And I was going to put a post up. I'm on a group of over 100 women on the NCMI group. They all lead churches from all over the show, and some even international. I tell you, leadership, you have taken the first step. Before you lead others, you have to lead yourself. Friends, I want to encourage you and say, you led yourself well today. You led yourself well to get onto the battleship and get envisioned about the mission that we've been called to. Well done.